These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smith out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scazz, the rugby.
Welcome back to The Good, the Scazz and the Rugby, brought to you by our friends at Vodafone. Scazz and Mo are here. One more sleep before they're in camp for the foreseeable forever.
And we've come in matching outfits because we're going to be in matching outfits for the foreseeable too. It's just
already.
Happened. Oh, it's happened.
You guys didn't even get a brief for this and you just did it anyway.
Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
I know.
Wow. We are matching.
Can I be D?
I was going to say, yeah, of course, and then I realised what that meant.
And
carry on.
And he didn't record the intro to the pod, if you're listening to the audio version live, but he has joined us live in the studio. It's the man with the voice you hear before you hear mine, commentator extraordinaire, an absolute... I mean, he is a nose for the women's game. He knows things that even the players don't know.
So upsetting. Yeah.
It's very impressive. Nick Heath is here and he's got scoop, 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 scoop deluxe.
I'm an ice cream salesman.
Basically, he is. So much tea to be spilling.
Sure.
Scazzy.
No pressure.
We have not spoken about your return yet. Yes. I mean, we had a little video of our Mo on the sidelines hugging you. You have been blazing all over the place, taking a lot of contact and doing all kinds of crazy intense things that made me wince a little bit. How is it to be back?
It's lovely. I feel like it's obviously a very long run in, and I've been saying, but a Friday night game, 7:45 kickoff, is not a game to return.
No.
For after that amount of time. It was the longest day ever. But it was super cool. Obviously got so many lovely messages that I really appreciated over these last few weeks. But yeah, it's nice to be back.
Have you replied to them all?
Well, I've replied to all the ones I know people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I haven't gone through my messages or anything like that.
I bet there's been my requests. So many.
I was fortunate enough to be commentating that evening and went down to see Scazzy as she walked out and she sort of saw me and waved. And she made the best noise ever in a quick hug that we had as she was going out to warm up. And it was obviously just embodying everything about, I'm slightly nervous, but I'm okay. Can we get on with it? And oh god, and it just went it just made this amazing noise and I just went, yeah mate, I get it, off you go. It was just perfect.
Did she make that noise afterwards, Mo, when you hugged it?
No, I don't think. I think I just got the relief.
Yeah.
Do you want to do your relief hug for me?
I don't know what that was.
Yeah. You were watching with Sants, right?
Yeah, Santi and Shira, yeah.
Yes. What was the viewing experience like? Didn't you guys have a bet running about how many times she was going to be on the big screen?
Did. I actually took note. Yeah, we did. Because within like the first minute, I don't know what you were saying up in comms. I've not watched it back yet. But literally, it was like the team running out. Like obviously, Scotty captain at the front. And it was just like Scazz. And then it just followed Scazz the whole time and then kick off Scazz. And it was just like everything was just about Scazzy. So we had a little bet running. I went really big though.
Oh, shock. You always, yeah, you always get
classic
mental.
Mo. Classic Mo.
I was, there was one after halftime where I was singing the song going on in the stadium and then the girls were looking at me like, you're on screen. And I was like, oh.
Yeah,
singing like, it was like Shakira or something.
I'm just enjoying myself.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, she was on screen.
You didn't know you're on screen. I ain't buying that shit.
I mean, she was on screen quite a lot in that first few minutes because she started really well. Very impressed. I was like, oh, it's actually never been away.
Over the shoulder.
Yeah, one of them.
Little left foot grubber. Was it?
Just.
Outside of the right.
Yeah.
Outside of the right.
It wasn't quite a left.
It's naughty.
So good. Yeah. I love it. Do you know what I also have loved is the circus just sewing up a home semi-final. Are you guys going to call it Queen's Home for the semi-final again?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll have in their locker. Like Nicole, who heads up the market, I'm pretty sure she heads the whole thing up.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
She's pretty impressive. So I'm sure she'll have more ideas and come up with more wild and wonderful things. But no, we're buzzing.
It is actually quite impressive to have got a home semi already.
Yeah.
Pre-Six Nations still. It's four games left.
When I heard that,
I was like, oh, it's not just a semi, it's a home semi.
Mm.
That's impressive.
We've only got three because our bye weekend is right at the end.
Fine. Maybe that's why as well then.
I'm not sure. But yo, dead proud of the girls.
And then you break the record. 13 in a row.
Yeah, record, yeah. So we were on for it last year and Sarri's actually stopped us breaking it, which was their record initially. We played them and we lost to Sarri's. So it was really nice to get that done.
Going into the break, Sarri's second, but that shock result, how much do you read into it, Nikith?
it certainly says something about the players that we're missing. What, Poppy, Sophie DeGoody,
and Marley.
So there's a fair bit of power in your pack. But I think it's also possibly testament to the fact that Bristol have been talking all season about the fact that, you know, we are going to put in the performances that we know we're capable of. Mm. And we've sort of been waiting for a delayed bus for that. But I think, you know, they'll be pretty pleased with that. And yeah, they've now made sure that there is that really clear top four. It was it was kind of there already. But actually, what are there, 4 points between second and fourth now? So that's made it a little bit spicy.
Can I fast forward and ask you, would you want to play Sarries in a final? Is it that, like, the whole England-New Zealand thing that's like...
Don't really mind.
Really?
You could finish fourth in the league and then you win the final and no one cares where you finished in the league.
Well, you could be fourth in the league, Scazzy. No pressure.
No. Yeah. No pressure, but still not impossible, but kind of impossible.
Mm.
Yeah. Tricky. I think we were right in it, weren't we? Because we had a game in hand. We were playing Bristol. So if we'd have taken that result, obviously it would have given us an opportunity. But yeah, I think it's a very tough ask, especially with given Bristol have just beaten Saracen. So, but we'll keep scrapping. Fifth, I think, is obviously the aim. Try and stay there. That's a pretty good finish for us, I think, given last season.
You'd need a bonus point win, and then Bristol would have to score 0 points in their remaining games. No pressure, Loughborough. Everyone else needs to do Loughborough really big.
Who do Bristol
have? What's their running?
They've got Tigers at home, Quins away, Sail away.
Nice. Obviously,
the Orinoco knows. Flow fixture to finish off there. Sail away.
Nice. Wow.
Sail away, sail away, sail away.
And wow, the two of you are heading into camp on a vibe.
Yeah, we are so in sync. Like,
I mean, are they ready for
all of this?
Are we going to
be okay? Have we got 2 months of this? I'm not sure.
Have you packed anything special?
I don't know if Scuzz has. I'm here for it, but yeah.
Well, we're in camp this week and then we get the weekend off, so there's no need to go too big on the immediate packing list.
But don't worry, because I'm at Scazzy's all weekend. The sync can continue.
I don't know why we do it to ourselves, honestly.
It's a beautiful thing.
You just never take a day off, do you?
Perfect. I know.
You don't need a day off. I don't need a day off.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going into camp with Mitch. Nick spent some time with Mitch this week. Mm. This is a monumentous occasion. Because, I mean, we've been waiting for the real thing, I feel like, for a while. Because I feel like New Zealand was a bit of a cameo appearance. It was a last minute kind of coming into that WXV tournament. But now there's been some time.
Mm.
And you've had more than one on-one with Mitch.
Good, yes. certainly have.
Did I make you nervous? Because you were like, where is she going? What is she saying?
No, I wondered just how many one-on-ones there were going to
yes.
be. No, and he's also sort of, you know, he's had training camp and here's a squad. And we're going to do another training camp and here's a squad. We've been waiting for the squad. We've had it this week, 35 players. Yeah, I mean, these two are in. Congrats, well done. Never take it for granted. Yeah, I think it's go time now to see what sort of game plan he's going to have. Mm. He's told players where he thinks they're going to be involved over the first couple of games, which is not how it's been before.
He has.
Scoop. With some players, I don't think all.
Some players.
So, you know. And
you guys aren't giving us anything. What is the whole point of having you
here? What we can say.
Nick knows more.
But my favourite part was just sort of breaking down the bits where he's got the big decisions to make. So, you know, back five, scrum, Allcroft, Beckett, Cleal, Gallaghan, Kabea, Matthews, O'Donnell, Talling, Ward, Captain Packer.
Oosh.
How do you make a decision there?
Stop it.
And then present company accepted, midfield, Sophie Bridger, Sydney Gregson, Tat Hurd, Meg Jones, Hel Rowe, Emily Scarrett. What? Well, what are you doing there? He's got some work to do.
You've got a feel for coaches from other nations just looking at that like squad yeah. list going, stop it.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to, yeah, have some challenges, but told me a certain person's going to be wearing 12. So we'll see how that goes.
Is it me? Am I in?
Pick me.
Now, the fact that Mitch is going around telling everyone you're going to play 12, Scazzy, we have to address that. Was this you going, I'm only playing if I play 12? Was it just you saying to him, I'm not playing if it's not 12? Or was this a him idea? Where does it come from?
It's very much coach's idea.
Mm.
Obviously, played 13 pretty much my whole career.
108 caps.
Yeah, a little bit of 15 when I was younger. Mm. I joked with Daily McLean the other day, it's basically you just keep getting shuffled in, don't you, as you get older. You just kind of get slightly lower. I'm screwed. Number. Yeah, you've got nowhere to go.
you go.
But yeah, I think it's to do with the way they want to play the game, try and get people's skill sets really to come to life and be at their best version of that in the positions that they're playing. Just going along with it and seeing how we go. Obviously, the centres are the centres, aren't they? There is subtle differences, but nonetheless, it's not a huge jump. So hopefully just trying to wrap my head around that.
That is the diplomatic media trained answer. Nikki, give us the scoop.
Is it scoop? Well, I think to gently blow some smoke in that direction, Emily Scarrett, on her first game back for Loughborough, was already showing the sorts of glimpses of the player we know she is, former World Player of the Year. A triple threat, ultimately can take it up physically, can look for the pass, can look for the chip through. There's an unpredictability that a defence is going to have trouble with, but she's not Mo's size. She's big. She's physical if she wants to be. So while we've seen her in previous years on that outside arc in a 13 channel, actually, I think those options to punch it up at 12, provided she's ready for that again. Talk that Helena Rowland in the squad might have more of a 13 role than a 10. Having that pace on the outside as another option, I think it could be an interesting blend. I think Mitch might be on something.
If you're listening, when Nick said ready, Scazzy narrowed her eyes.
I'm ready.
Okay. Now we need to talk about our Mo sideline at Twickenham Stadium over the weekend.
Madness.
I mean, I was just so impressed. How marvellous were you in your little presenting gig?
Just casually interviewing Rag and Bone Man.
I had imposter syndrome. What the truth? Definitely. No, he was awesome and such a lovely man. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Thoughts on that England performance? You were behind the scenes doing hospo things.
I was.
Scazzy, where were you watching?
I was on a bus back from Exeter. We'd just been well beaten.
Oh, sorry, it's not funny.
Yeah, good one. We were all watching just it on like our phones. Obviously a dodgy connection coming back up the M5. So obviously people were like five seconds.
Do you have a nice bus with tellies and that?
No, Mo. Oh, different budgets. Class? Different budgets.
Yeah. It's just the circus bus that looks like that.
Anyway, are at slightly different timings. So there's like a rule of you can't react because obviously it'll give away. Someone at the front of the bus starts being like, yeah. Then obviously at the back, you know, something's about to happen. But obviously the ending was just something you could
is
not
react to. Is
the 4G
that different from front to back? No, but your bus is mental, mate. We have tables and all sorts of that.
No, but you know when everyone goes on like an iPlayer or whatever?
It was a sensational, just as a neutral, just a sensational watch, a great bit of entertainment. The final 20 was absolutely everything. I think from a rugby viewing performance standard point of view, it was a great weekend across the board.
Mega.
Huge. Unreal.
Have you watched the whole game back yet?
No. I haven't watched the whole game back,
You need to watch it back.
We were playing so good.
There also is going to be a bounce to the women's game from this, because if the England men's team is doing particularly well, people become more invested in what's going on around Twickenham. Therefore, hello England, Ireland, Women's Six Nations. Last time I was there, I had a great time. Let's go again. It could be great.
With that one opportunity as well, with the Twickenham game, to get back there.
Totally.
Class.
And what does Italy's win over Scotland Roma do for Rigoni and her friends? Because, I mean, what a phenomenal result for them. And I just love the energy and the result.
And a sold out stadium.
Oh.
Like, I don't think you hear that very often in Rome.
No.
So I thought that was the, you know, part of the best bit, because they went and then delivered in front of that crowd.
Yeah. So good. Especially after the previous week with the whole penalty that we don't talk about, etc. So good. Very good.
Quick fire. Wales, Italy predictions this weekend. Scazzy.
Oh, Italy.
By?
Italy by 8.
See, Italy nearly beat France and then they went and beat Scotland. But I just think that Wales need it. And they're such a proud rugby nation. And the fact that it's in principality, I'm going to go Wales.
I'm going 24 all.
I'll give over.
Sorry, can someone come and help Nick down?
Getting splinters over here, am I?
You didn't give us a margin. Yeah. Come
down. Bye.
Come then.
I'm going to go Wales by 8. Only so whoever wins out of us two, like it's going to be the same, you know? So if Wales win, it's the same, do you get me?
No one's following that.
So Gaz has lost. Perfect. It's okay. Cool. Never mind. Ireland, Scotland. This one was
going to
be...
If Wales win, you win. If Italy win, I win. Oh, don't worry about the points, mate.
Sorry.
We've picked different nations.
Shara's just sat there with her hands.
She's just making a note. Delete that.
It.
Edit that out. Yeah.
Carry on.
Ditch quickfire.
Okay. Yeah. Never do this again, please.
Ditch the slowest quickfire ever.
Shara, we can't do this quickly. Yeah. There's no point.
Let's not do schools.
Ireland, Scotland.
What was the first thing she said to us? Keep it high paced today. Yeah. Keep it high paced.
Energy. I'm sinking in my seat over it.
More footwork.
Okay, Nick, Ireland, Scotland.
I can't see Ireland allowing anyone to step foot there and do one over on them when they've just got to take that final step to secure the championship. So
quick the fire. EPCR, the Champions Cup final, when Leinster lost to La Rochelle
quick fire.
Yeah.
Hey guys, quick fire.
Ireland.
If there is one team that can choke at home,
so
it's
people have
the
gnaws off over
quick
it.
Fire.
I'm
Scotland. Okay, go.
I'm going to Ireland. Paddy's weekend.
Oh, yes, that's true. Good point. Yeah. Bye.
Good amount. 13.
12.
7.
I'm going brave. Come on, Scotland. Okay. France, England.
Oh, yeah, beefy. Yeah.
How is this now?
Roz
you
beefy.
Haven't watched them, so I'll go. England. Oh,
no,
sorry,
no,
I was trying to
never.
Help.
You just picked England. I couldn't have seen that coming. Yes.
Yeah, always back
unbelievable.
It.
Unbelievable. That is one of the best England performances I've seen in a very, very, very long time.
But can they back it up?
And yes. Can they be consistent?
I think so, yes.
Well, these are the questions, aren't they?
I think. And I'm over
Thank
here,
you, Auntie Scans. Well, this is the trouble.
And I'm over here saying yes.
Hey, guys.
I think yes.
Bye.
What are you saying?
Yeah, just say one less or one more.
Go on, what do you think?
I think it'll be reasonably tight, like 5.
I think by 6.
The two of you.
I think France will win.
Do you?
Only because I think I think England have played their final, and I don't think they're consistent enough yet, which is why they are capable of that performance, but they're also capable of what they've played already in the Six Nations. And I think going over there, the French putting in that performance that they did against the Welsh, I think they'll be very happy to be playing that game in Lyon against England and getting a win. And
I reckon it could be one of those. What was that game on the Super Saturday years ago? Was it England Scotland that was like 40 points
yeah,
a piece
like
or something?
70 points scored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon it could be one of Dry Day in France. Yeah. Could be class.
Could be one of them.
I feel like over the last week, all of my Twitter feed or my X feed has been people going, I told you so, reposting tweets where they forecast a big England performance. That hot take there from Oscars is the one that we're going to repost if this is a high scoring match. And I am come on, here for it. So
can
come
I say
on.
It now? Yeah, me too.
And then for balance,
who do you think?
I do think France is going to win.
Ooh.
Bye.
In Lyon, but I don't think it's going to be a big margin because I don't rate this French team and their psychology very much either. So I don't think it's going to be a massive margin, but there might be quite a bit of scoring.
And Elmi used to live in Lyon, of course.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, I have shares in that city.
This is off topic and we can totally edit it out, but Dupont in the sevens.
Oh, yes. Completed it, mate.
However, he made the dream team both times. He didn't play a huge amount of minutes. It's quite a big marketing tool, isn't it, I think, that's happening right now.
Sorry, I've got a theory on this.
Go on, Mo.
Well, I don't think that he has been as unbelievable as everyone's making out. But what I do think has happened is the belief of everyone around him.
Yeah.
It's like DuPont effect, that everyone else has just raised their game because they've got this superstar on their pitch.
Is it
Scars effect?
Yeah. Or comparable to the Sophie Dugoudy effect at Sarri's.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Some players are just like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it was awesome to see, and obviously amazing for France to get the win and for what it's done for sevens in the country, because that Olympic sevens is going to be unbelievable.
So good. Sorry, I just wanted to get that in.
Now, speaking of things in France, Nick is not going to unpack his suitcase because he's going to be over the channel there quite a lot in the next few weeks.
So, not in Rome.
We won't be close to Rome.
Elma, come on.
At all. Parma and Roma are very far apart. That is my best Italian, by the way. So the Women's Six Nations this year is really important for more than WXV qualification and bragging rights on the continent and the kingdom around it, because the 2025 qualification process starts here. Yeah. So England and France have already qualified.
Porn.
Can Sorry. All of the red roses calm down? You have already qualified for the next World Cup. But the winner of the Six Nations... It's very mature over here today.
Wow.
Sorry, Alma.
The winner of the Six Nations or the next highest qualified team outside of England or France will qualify for England 2025. By the end of WXV 2024, we will know all the teams and then the draw will take place. So last year's standings from 6 to 5 was Ireland, Italy, Scotland, Wales, France, England. And we are now going to discuss the hopes of each of these sides in that order. And it's important to note that we will also be mentioning the level of contracting or professionalism that they are at, because this context is crucial to informing
Very important.
How you judge each of these players and coaches and the structures within which they operate. Ireland, 2023, they finished 6th. That means they dropped 2 spots from 22 when they finished 4th. They are now ranked 10th in the world, and Scott Beaman has taken over as head coach, which is the big shift from last year. Sam Monahan and Adele McMahon, who joined us on the pod last year in October, are captaining. Unfortunately for them, they played in Dubai in WXV3, which means that they were not playing the toughest opponents. Nick, you did a bit of commentary on that. Mm-hmm. What does that impact have? What impact does that have? Let me speak English first. On how they prepared for the Six Nations.
Well, yeah, WXV, they put over 100 points on Kazakhstan. They put over 60 points on Colombia. They squeaked past Spain, 15 points to 13. Not necessarily the most convincing. A Spanish side that not a Six Nations team. The Irish have 2 sides in the Celtic Challenge. Should we give that a quick once over?
What do you make of how they've been doing there?
Well, Celtic Challenge, for anyone that doesn't know, is the tournament of all the nations that hate the English. Mm-hmm. So it's an
opportunity. Wait, there should be way more nations in there then.
Yeah. So the Welsh have got Brython Thunder and Gwalior Lightning. Scotland have got Edinburgh and Glasgow. And the Irish have the Wolfhounds and the Clovers. There's been some renaming and rebranding. But the Irish, because they don't have other competitions like the PWR and regionally to play, and they put their big guns in the Celtic Challenge to get them up to speed. The Scots put a few more development players in because they have players playing elsewhere, as do the Welsh. So it means that the Celtic Challenge means an awful lot to the Irish. So going back to your question, they played WXV in a standard and a level which was pretty easy for them. Mm. Good for building the confidence because they lost all their games last year and it was pretty sad, not good times. But I don't believe that they're getting the level of physicality and level of challenge, certainly at that level in WXV, between the Clovers and the Wolfhounds in Celtic Challenge. There's a bit too much rolling out the red carpet between some of these players in terms of trying to score tries, physicality, players running 40 metres, getting through 12 players. And I fear that while it's breeding confidence and getting them feeling good about rugby, they might come into this Women's Six Nations and actually play against a physical Wales side and Scotland and obviously France and England as well and just go, oh, we're still a long way off. So I hope they're hitting tackle bags under Scott Beaman, and I really do.
Okay. 5 players included in the squad who have featured for the HSBC 7 series for Ireland this season, including a name that you might know well, Bevan Parsons, and a few other ones. In terms of who jumps out at you girls there, who are the impressive ones or ones to watch?
I really like Eve Higgins. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. Yeah, I feel like she's had some really nice touches over the years in that Irish 13 jersey. And I think when Ireland play well, she plays well. So it's great to see her back in the fold.
Part of Ireland's historic first title success in
How
Perth.
How good. Unbelievable. Mm.
What should they be aiming for? Their top tier domestic rugby is not exactly in a great place. This is a really challenging time that they are building from. What does need to happen for them here?
I think surely everyone is going to be fighting for that last World Cup spot.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, those four nations that haven't yet qualified are surely that's their sole aim. And that means basically finishing as high up in the Six Nations or higher than all the other, those other three nations as possible. Mm. So the games against those direct competitions, I think are massive. Obviously we've got a couple in or one in that first weekend, which is huge. But yeah, I think that the interesting thing will be what Nick's spoken about in terms of how that translates from playing WXV, playing in the Celtic Challenge, Scotland and Wales predominantly have a lot more of their players playing in PWR. Therefore, potentially, if we're saying that the, you know, the physicality, the competition, the challenge is potentially greater. So are they more up to speed or are they more fatigued? You know, you can look at these things in so many different ways. Mm. But yeah, I think all those nations will be, they've got to try and get that spot.
And Ireland have got three home games. So they've got to be looking at this year. They're playing Italy at home, Wales at home and Scotland at home. Mm. So those are the nations they should be targeting in terms of victories. So they've got to try and make the most of that. Obviously, they're away to France in the opening round, so that's going to be a really tough challenge. But target that Italy team. Get into their heads, bring it, and see where that pits you. Because if they can get that win at home in Dublin, well, then where can they start to kick on with that kind of belief?
It will also be fascinating to see how they manage playing at Twickenham, considering the scale of crowds, and we will talk about the scale of crowds, mm-hmm. but the number of tickets already sold for that event means that this will be a mighty challenge. Remember, they were not in New Zealand. So how many of those Irish girls have played in front of massive numbers of noisy people?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think many, to be honest. Like when you look at their squad list, there's a lot of people in there that don't have a lot of experience. Like there's not a lot of caps between them, other than a few girls that obviously bring that up. So I think massively the experience part will come into it. And I think they'll be massively reliant as well on their girls that are playing in the PWR because they have that physicality week in, week out.
Mm. What are the tickets sold? I haven't heard a number.
Nicky's.
This is a scoop, scoop, scoop.
Scoop, scoop, scoop.
So currently cruising around the 30,000, 35,000 mark for Twickenham. And Bristol is around the 15,000 mark. So
what's the stadium at by Bristol?
What is Bristol? About 30 maybe?
I think
25, 30.
So we're halfway in both.
But it comes under the context though, because, you know, there's another little semi-scoop for you. They are working on, hopefully, some quite punchy WXV warm-up games. So they are very conscious, I think, that there are, you know, there is a pool of women's rugby fans that they are hoping will turn up to Twickenham like they did for the France game, for that Ireland game. But they are also conscious that as we market the women's game to perhaps some of those already on the bus, as much as those that we're trying to appeal to, you don't want to keep going to them for their hard-earned cash for your games. But they are conscious that there may be one or two big games at Twickenham later on in the year. Mm. So...
Scoop.
Certainly hoping that they will get a decent crowd at Ireland. Will it match France from last year? Bearing in mind, it's not the end of the tournament. It's not England's big rivals for the title. Probably not. But the fact that it's already cruising at you know, 35-ish thousand, I think is pretty strong. And come the end of the men's Six Nations, then there'll probably be a bump as there was last year.
Come on then.
Let's go.
At this exact point last year, producer Shara has just whispered in my ear, we were at the same number of tickets sold. So 58,000 is not an impossible number to either be chasing or perhaps even, I mean, shall we say it, beat. So here we go. Come on.
Let's get it.
Very exciting.
It was a vibe last year. Bring a friend if you were there and then, you know, we'll fill it out. Let's head on to Italia. 2023, they finished fifth. They are ranked seventh in the world. They were also fifth in 22, and the highest rank ever at that stage was fifth in the world. Head coach Giovanni Ranieri, they've got an interesting setup because Benetton Rugby and Zebre Parma, two new franchises that have been launched to run in parallel to the men's team. They have 22 players that had centralized contracts awarded ahead of last year's Women's Six Nations. That means they have economic support for 80 to 130 days per year. So it's not a salary, but we are expecting an update on this. We have Rigoni entertaining us in the PWR playing in the colors of Sharks. Best Italian players, basically, from the top two elite leagues, 65 of them selected from 15 clubs and one additional overseas player. 23's results, they, in WXV2, saw off Japan, South Africa, and the USA. Where are they for you coming into this, Nikith?
Notoriously unpredictable, which is not just a get out, but every time I think that they're building and in a good place, they go and lose a game by 30 points. So yeah, they had a January camp without any of their English based players. And then they've had a more recent camp where the likes of Silvia Tirani, Sara Seye, who's at Trailfinders, I think, and Beatrice, squishy sweets in her socks, Rigoni, has been able to, Sara Tunesi as well, I think was invited into that camp. So, Yeah, Ilaria Arrighetti is another player. She was out for a bit taking, I think, teaching exams, and she's really decent. Elisa Giordano is back captaining. She was injured last year. So, you know, I think the more of them, especially people like Maverick Ragone playing in the PWR, learning more of that control as much as when to press the fun button, I think will be really interesting how that feeds then into the rest of the Italian squad as well. But I love the Italians. I love what they're all about. I just want them to get it together, and that will determine where they're going.
There's an easy direct comparison, isn't there, with the men, I think, because I think the women are not far off like tipping a balance, but we've probably said that for a few years.
Yeah.
And we've said it for a few years with the men.
Yeah.
But actually they have managed to do that in terms of obviously one draw, one proper result.
And it is interesting, the parallels between the women's and the men's game, because they're also there and thereabouts with Scotland now. In WXV2, Italy and Scotland topped the pile going into the final weekend with 10 points apiece. And then Scotland won that tournament only based on points difference, and only points difference of 2. Which, I mean, it could only have been 1 point closer.
It's wild, isn't it? I still think it's a bit of a shame that they never played each other at WXV2 in order to actually find the winner, the legit winner. Because Italy did nothing wrong. You know, if they scored one more try, they would have won it. If they'd have conceded one less try, do you know what I mean? I think you want that hit out, you want that final. But I think they'll be going in with loads of confidence from those results. So, as I say, they didn't necessarily put a foot wrong.
Last year in Six Nations, they lost to Scotland 21-29 and they lost to Wales 36-10. So these are the two that they really have to win now coming into this campaign if they want to beat five.
That Wales result was brilliant for Wales for the development of where they're at. Yeah. So that was great to see. But I think we were all just going, really, Italy? Like, where were you?
Yeah, I think for me as well, if you're Italy, you're targeting that Scotland game because it's almost like a bit of a point to prove. Mm. So I think that game could be really quite interesting.
Massive.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the Scots, they finished fourth in 2023, ranked eighth in the world. The year before, they finished sixth. So they were one of the big moving teams last year. Head coach Brian Eason still in situ. Rachel Malcolm still captaining. Helen Nelson still there. Consistency, consistency, consistency. In that respect. Mm. Then injuries, unfortunately, also consistent. Jade Conkle-Roberts out injured again. Contracts, this is the situation. From the introduction of 28 professional contracts in December 22, 32 contracts have been agreed in the new cycle, part of a new four-year strategy, which includes the development of the semi-pro teams Edinburgh and Glasgow in Celtic Challenge. Now, if you are a URC viewer and fan, much like moi, then you will also be picking up a trend here from the URC teams, which is that between the Italian teams and the Scottish teams, there is a trend building. Okay, in 23, let's go back to the women's Six Nations.
Is that a scoop or are we just going to...
Scoop, scoop, scoop,
scoop, scoop, scoop, scoop. I'm just going to gloss over that. I might have heard some things. WXV2 Scotland saw off South Africa in what was actually quite a physical game. Speaking of physicality, even though the scoreline doesn't flatter South Africa there. Scotland seeing off the USA 24-14 and then Japan 38-7. Celtic Challenge, Edinburgh challenging for the title.
Mm. Oh, hi.
Yes. Mr. Celtic Challenge.
She just does it with her eyes.
Bring us the story there.
Well, I was actually going to pick up on the WXV thing because I had a chat with Brian Eason ahead of coming here, do my best to do my homework. He was saying, a little bit to back up the conversation earlier about Ireland, that was a middle tier level competition that they were very pleased to be winning. And they, again, were a side that haven't tasted victory a whole lot previously, were very, very happy to get that win. And against that level of opposition was probably the stern test that they wanted. Not too easy, not too difficult, but actually sort of at the sort of level. So I think he's really pleased with where the side are at and where they're growing now.
Now, winless campaign in 22, but your Scottish friends had you playing the little bagpipe during WXV quite a bit. I mean, you loved celebrating their wins.
It's my specialist subject now, isn't it?
Yeah.
How good. Mm. Yeah. Shut up, mate.
Why are you blushing?
I don't even hear, mate.
What's happening?
I think obviously they're coming off a really positive WXV campaign, loads of confidence. I think last time out, Six Nations obviously got two big good wins against Italy and Ireland, but probably I think they all came away from that Wales game disappointed. They felt they had more in that. So I think that'll be a big game for them coming up. But yeah, I think, again, it's just, it's another test, isn't it? Can you kick on? Can you keep that consistency? Mm. Can you go and press for that third spot? And or challenge, obviously, you know, France and England as well. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. So yeah, looking forward to it. Their players have been going really well in the PWR across, obviously there's a lot of Loughborough, but across the league. So
Molly Wright has shotted some of our girls as well. It's great to see her back.
Yeah.
She's just lining people up for fun, which has been amazing to see. But yeah, very excited to see it. And also sell out. They've got a record crowd coming in for the England game, which I think is really cool to see. And obviously like the impact that potentially that Edinburgh in the Celtic Challengers had because they're growing their fan base there, which is class.
And they're excited. Sorry, they've got their sevens players back as well. So likes of Rona Lloyd, Shona Fran McGee, so these Lisa sorts of players Thompson. That, you know, yeah, that's right. And Corinne Grant, you know, they've got real talent in that back three, those back three positions. And you know, perhaps if those seventh players have to be gone by, or after round three, perhaps, then they've got Kieran Bell, who was playing for Edinburgh, scored four tries in five games. So could be a name to look out for the future 21-year-old.
I also think one of the biggest things, especially potentially in their back line now, I think you could have all sat down over the last 3 years and picked the team and it would have been right. Whereas I think now they've got genuine depth competition and therefore hopefully, you know, really pushing standards in training, which again is all going to be a good thing.
And positional movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Nelly's been playing 15.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah. Player of the match, wasn't it?
POM.
Honourable mention to your mentee who enjoyed a call up as part of the Empower Her project. Nicole Flynn and Kieran Bell. Getting a call up to the
too soon to claim it.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you claiming it? I was going to say, are you claiming it? Or
is this your influence?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Have you got the Mind Pond effect? The Scaz effect.
There you go.
Hey, Scaz speaks to me. Boom!
What have you been telling them?
No, it's been cool. Like, obviously, awesome for her to get that call up and be part of the training squad. I think she's been going pretty well and through the Celtic Challenge as well. Mm. And for Edinburgh Uni in the Bucks. So yeah, it's cool. Like, we've caught up a few times. She sent over some clips and stuff and had a chat through it. She makes a Scotland squad. We might have to just, you know, slow down a little bit.
Whoa, the competitiveness.
Might be playing against each other.
But from those players that are coming up through those sort of levels to actually then reminding ourselves of the Scots in the PWR that are playing brilliantly, whether it's Lana, whether it's, you know, Rachel Malcolm, Evie Gallagher, who's been going so well for Bristol, Elian Clark, like the Scots are on form at the minute. So I think that's quite exciting as well.
That's my attempt at the bagpipe sound.
It was silent. Sorry, if you remember.
Can you
before.
Do that again?
You weren't here, Mo. It's silent if you remember.
Silent bagpipe. You're only supposed to do the wing thing with your arm. Sorry.
Okay, I was
Mo's got
sorry,
promo. Mo's
yeah,
got
yeah, promo. Yeah,
okay, we have a live show coming up. If you would like to watch Scotland in action, then I have great news for you. Come and join me and some friends at a live show in Cardiff ahead of Wales, Scotland. We're going to be kicking off match day in the walkabout before heading over to Cardiff Arms Park.
The walkabout.
Get it, girl.
Snakey bees all around.
The walkabout. I will be wearing red. Surprise. Goodness. So don't come for me, Scotland fans.
Bring your plastic covers for your shoes.
You get a glass of fizz to kick things off with. You'll be able to take some pictures with our Welsh friends who will be in attendance. So get your tickets over on Eventbrite. On the topic of wearing red, finished third last year. Doing so again for Wales during this Guinness Women's Six Nations would mean Rugby World Cup qualification. Dun, dun, dun. last year, third, ranked sixth in the world. Previously, in 22, third, ranked ninth in the world. They have moved up with all of the results they've delivered. Johan Cunningham still coaching there. Hannah Jones still captaining there. 25 full-time playing contracts. WXV, last time we saw them, they took a loss to Canada and a big one to New Zealand. There was that game against Australia where we all were just stunned by Australia's performance in that game.
Very good.
How much of a point does Joanne Cunningham's side now have to make coming back from that, Nikith?
I think they need to, I don't know, I always wonder whether people sort of really dwell on campaigns that take place in certain places. Do you come back up to Northern Hemisphere and go, right, we're in Six Nations mode now, and actually that went quite well for us, so let's just remind, or how are we, you know, taking our WXV campaign with us? I think ultimately we've started to see the fruits of the labour of the investment. And that's what we started to see green shoots of in last year's Women's Six Nations. And they've really, you know, they've got to kick on, you know, from that now. And we've got to see more of the development. Seven uncapped players that he's named. So there's a good bit of continuity. There's a couple of people coming back, I should say. Shona Wakeley, formerly Shona Powell Hughes, 45 caps. She played World Cup 2017, then has played one test, which was in the truncated COVID Six Nations in 2021, and is now back. So that's going to be interesting. She's now a firefighter. She played a bit in the Celtic Challenge. And Nell Metcalf, another one of those on the list, who has been tearing it up and having a good time down at Gloucester Hartbury. Hat-trick when she played in the Six Nations under-20s. What was that, 2 years ago? She went Lillicrap, had a bit of a chat with her. She said Nell Metcalf was one of the best when they went to Canada with the under-20s for a tour last summer. She's doing all right.
She has a bright future, for sure. Bright future. Yeah, she's class. And another notable mention, Kate Williams, who I don't think gets talked up a lot, but she is just one of the best, all of them to be fair, but she is a top, top girl and also has been going super well for us in the PWR. So really excited to see her. I think she'll get a decent amount of game time through this Six Nations. So yeah.
Do you want to give any of the Gloucester players a shout out?
Fine, okay. Cecilia Tupolotti.
13 of them. How long are we going to be here?
No, in all honesty.
She won't want to miss anyone out.
No, I won't. Like, Han got stuck into me about the Lions stuff, but that's a whole other story. Oh. Yeah.
No.
But yeah, Flakes for me, I think she's going to get the nod at 10. Because obviously Robin's not in the squad. Snowy, Eleanor Snowsill's not there anymore. And she's never really been given like the reins. I think she started that one game out in New Zealand. So I'd love to see her get the reins and just to see what she can do and how she can drive this team forward.
If you need a reminder of what Blake George can do, maybe go watch the highlights of that Australia game. Even though they lost to 14 players, that 50-22 on the 79th minute to give them a shot when things were looking dire just shows so much composure.
Yeah, 100%. We actually call her 50-22 at Gloss.
Oh.
Because it's a common thing. And sometimes I go up to her and say, I really need a 50-22 now, mate. Just to get stuck into her, but she's great.
Ellie Kildan heard that and went,
oh, what was that? Oh, by the way, that was unbelievable.
A 22-22.
Sorry, but there was a big wind. Just going to put that out there.
Yeah.
There was a massive wind, but I've never seen a kick like that. It was unbelievable.
Was it spiral as well? Yeah, you can quite tell.
To be fair, I did send it home. I was like, because she was getting stuck into me all camp about like basically the fact that they were going to beat us and that they've got these moves for me and they're going to come at me and all this sort of stuff. And to be fair to her, that was very, very good. So I said, fair enough, you got that one.
I love the little smile afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, literally, she was loving it, wasn't she? Yeah. Oh.
Just delight, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so Wales, just to recap, Gwalior Lightning and Brython Thunder, fourth and fifth place. Not worried about that? Not bothered?
No, not really, because I think they've got basically most of their squad down at Gloucester Hartbury
or
Bristol.
Yeah. You have been our correspondent on the Welsh front.
Yes.
It has been just so lovely seeing all of your pieces.
Thanks,
from
Elma.
What you made at Cardiff University. And so many warm, fuzzy, real human stories there that I have to just give you so much applause for the way that you handled the conversation with M. Hayward, our mentee over there, and their partner Gina. What was that like?
It was so lovely, to be honest. Like, they're just amazing people, and just to sit down and hear obviously what Gina's been through, and just the support that Em's given her as well. And yeah, it was just genuinely like really quite wholesome, like quite inspiring to hear what they've gone through. Can't believe the fact that she like delayed her surgery and all that sort of stuff. I was genuinely in shock a few times, but just so great to see also how another uni works and to be back in a uni house. I absolutely loved it. Like, honestly, came out of the door and I was like, I want to get lit tonight. I want to go out with Magic Mike. But no, it was class. I really enjoyed their company. The whole day was awesome. And obviously to have Gwen and Fionn there as well was awesome.
Keep an eye out for the Cribs piece
yet
to come out of Mo's house visit.
I want to get lit tonight.
I wanted to get lit.
She's down with the kids.
Honestly.
Obviously didn't because I'm a professional athlete and all that, but if it wasn't.
We are such millennials, but I love that you wanted to get lit.
Sorry, but Shira also did. She was like giddy when we came out of the house as well.
No, I get it's more just the sentence, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's the you wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't. I don't.
Yeah. You wouldn't. No.
Auntie Scouse, what did you make of Mo the coach? Just because she's really delicate and polite in the little sit down bit. And then as soon as there was a ball in play,
different
it was
gravy.
Boof, boof, boof. Yeah. Straight down the barrel.
She's like that child that, you know, when you walk into a sports shop, goes and finds the basket of balls and has to bounce one and like squidge one. And do you know what I mean? You know exactly what I mean.
Actually, I'm that child. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little bit like it too.
You
so
are
I get
that
it.
Child as yeah. well. Yeah.
But no, different gravy out on the
bonded.
Field.
Dink.
Literally.
Dink. Everyone's like, can they stop that, please?
She doesn't hold back though, because I asked Mo to help me with my passing ahead of the European Touch Champs. Did I say I played that? And within about 5 minutes, she was like, why are you passing like a T-Rex?
It's very high standards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's caused arguments in the past, but we won't go into that.
It's also a good thing he's not a sensitive person. I mean, yeah. Skin like a rhino, luckily, most of the time. He'll
a
be
very
fine.
Ginger rhino.
Yeah, it's okay. So our girls in red will be opening their account at Cardiff Arms Park against Scotland. And then at the end of the championship, they face Italia. For a first standalone fixture in the Principality Stadium, in the big house. And we would like to have everyone go through and support them for that big event. We love to see big packed houses, but also plenty of pressure a little bit there.
Yeah, probably. Pressure on the team, pressure on the Welsh public to turn out for them, I think, as well. You know, and like when we start moving these women's internationals to big stadia, people get nervous and go, oh, but what if there's only X amount of people? Yeah, I don't imagine it's going to be a sellout, but you've got to have that statement of intent. And the WRU have been a little slow to some of the progression around funding and moving programs on. So I think actually, as they're getting more up to speed, this kind of statement says, look, whatever the number is, we are now in the big house. This is the place the girls can play standalone internationals in. Mm. This is a starting point, whatever the crowd's going to be. But absolutely, the shout has got to be to the fans down there to pack it out as much as they can.
And there's obviously the walkabout to go to before and after. So, do you know what I mean?
Hello?
Full day.
Have you been to
full
Cardiff
day.
And like seen
if you've not
that?
Been, yeah.
Mega, I mean, mega.
The one thing that will be interesting, and this is the question that we will only be able to answer, I think, at the end of the championship, is whether it's better to qualify for WXV1, travel to New Zealand and have a really tough time of it, or to end up in WXV2, win a ton of games, come into it on fire, a bit like Scotland is now, and whether that momentum actually translates.
Do you think that will be that we'll answer that? So if Wales play well, we'll answer it. If Italy, Scotland play well, we'll answer it. Or do you think it will be this ongoing? Do you know what I mean? Is it that tangible?
I think if Wales are comprehensively more composed, like consistent performers, a team that feels like they pitch up and perform at the same level every fixture, people will say, well, look, they've made it into the big leagues in WXV1. They've played against really like high-ranked teams. Mm. And now you can see that translate. I don't think it's as much whether they'll finish third or not. I think that the Welsh public will expect them to now maintain finishing third in the Six Nations.
I think the bounce for me is more from the World Cup into last year's Six Nations and into WXV. I don't see those three internationals that they played as necessarily something you'll be able to take a massive learning from. I think it will be the consistency of therefore where they finish in this year's Six Nations and therefore whether we see them in Canada come September.
See, I find that super interesting because I think it has to be consistent. Like you have to build each time you play. And to your
start
point,
fresh.
Yeah, to your point, like if that isn't a build for them, then actually that's a backward step.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Because like, as a team, I think you have to take those experiences and you have to get better. And whoever you're playing, it doesn't matter. Like you have to learn and grow and improve and get a consistency of your squad or work your combinations or whatever it is you get out of that. You have to be able to be in a better place every time you take the field.
Mm. It's like so quality of opposition versus quality of confidence build almost, isn't it? Between the two.
100%.
Certainly. I'd like to see that graph.
But 13 of them play for GH in their 13 for 13. So
how much of the credit are we going?
We'll pick that one up for us, shall we?
I was going to say, she's the second
sorry, cut that
Osprey.
Out then. That didn't land how I wanted it to. I thought it was funny, but it wasn't funny.
Just a little arrogant.
God, sorry, it was meant to be a joke.
No, I'm work awkward. On the tone.
No,
work
I'm awkward, no, I'm uncomfortable. Carry on. France.
Well, from one team who have outgrown their stadium because they have filled it really nicely recently and now they're moving into the big house to a country where there is no shortage of support, packed out houses, tons of noise and fans for the women's game. France have been doing this for years and they're just looking across the channel going, psh, whatever, guys. Ranked second in 23, third overall in the world. In 22, they were second as well. Head coach Gael Mignon and David Ortiz.
Whole co-coaching business.
Mm. We were talking about it before the last.
It was very good.
It was good.
Until the normal word you translated.
Until the English came in. It turns out my French is better than my English.
Then we turned it into the whole hokey cokey.
It is a very difficult language to speak, guys. Manet Fallot captaining again. They have described their player contract model as 75% professional shrugs. Because what is 75 professional
well,
anyway?
That's because I think a number of the players ultimately go, no, we're all right, thanks. I quite enjoy working in a pharmacy or being a teacher or whatever. So,
or farming.
Yeah, all of those sorts of things. But, you know, WXV, they beat the Black Ferns and you're like, go on, right, now this is the French team internationally that we're ready to see. And then they go and lose to Australia and lose to Canada. So you sort of wonder what where they are and where their confidence levels are. I'll be quite fascinated to see how this squad and the development of a few new players look. Because the scoop is no scoop. I don't know where they are.
29-20, that was the scoreline over Canada that they did in round three of WXV1, which is crucial. That Canadian team are just so absolutely determined and dogged. So I think that's probably the note that they will want to pick up on. I mean, the 18-17 win over the Black Ferns, obviously also not one to sniff at. 22, they lost to England in the Grand Slam decider at home. 23, they lost to England in the Grand Slam decider away. Spotting a trend. 24, they have England in Bordeaux, 34,462 capacity stadium. And that is rugby country.
Yeah.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah, I'm hoping to take Brian Moore to a nightclub like we did in Biarritz.
Will you make us a video, please?
Yeah, I'll do my best. There's a few of us have already eyeing up the accommodation in Bordeaux. I'm wondering if I can get out there on the Monday, sort of blag the fact that I have to be there for a while. But yeah, because, you know, it's going to be towards the end of April. Could be very
could be
pleasant.
Lovely. Could be
there.
Vibes. Okay, so Gabriel.
Sorry, wants to watch.
Yeah.
I reckon Drouin. Caroline Drouin, coming back from Sevens. I think she's huge for them. Was big in the World Cup. Obviously, the kick in the semi-final is the thing that everyone goes back to. But apart from all of that, phenomenal player, been going so well in Sevens. I reckon she looks actually more athletic and more
talented
than ever.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she's coming back because they need that somebody in that potential 10 role to really steer it. I think she'll be class.
Earlier, you were talking up the French hooker from Trailfinders.
Yes. Rifano.
Yeah, Elisa Rifano.
Yeah, very, very good player. Obviously, Trailfinders has been going really, really well down there in the loose. Massively athletic, puts in hella shots. And also Madison Fowl.
Yeah, Madison Fowl.
I love her. I think she's brilliant.
She is brilliant.
She's unreal.
Yeah.
We can't talk about France and not mention Gabby Vernier.
Yeah. So, sorry, yeah.
Love Vernier and Pauline Bordon-Salsus as well. You know,
what have you just done?
Potential 12 lineup.
Done.
Tallard and Gabby and Vernier.
Bit of a size difference.
Exciting. Exciting.
Between the three of us.
In Bordeaux. I love that for
Bordeaux.
Us. I spent a lot of time there last year. If anyone wants any recommendations, there is actually a coffee shop.
LJ's told me about this coffee shop.
Yes, there is a Kiwi coffee shop there that does a delicious flat white.
Perfect.
I will share the link with you girls.
Merci.
Because I know our Cortado friend here is deep within the good coffees.
Mo needs a good espresso in her life.
Oh, you had to go there. Right, I don't understand what the difference is. You understand what I'm saying, whether I say espresso or however you say it.
I can tell you now, that was a flash. It is not an espresso.
Espresso.
It is not.
Why not? Because it's express. Like, it's quick. It's quick. It's a tiny little shot. Bang, gone. Wow, the caffeine's hit me straight away.
The Italian express, consulate has just sense. Called and they are sending the police over
it
here.
It makes logical sense to me. Mm-hmm. Explain what, why it's this espresso.
What do they call the police in Italy? Is it guardia? No, it's not.
Garda, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 they like are that. Coming for you.
Why is it espresso though? Because I've just given you a logical explanation for espresso.
They don't speak English over there.
Fair enough.
There we go.
There we are.
Okay. And on
you
that.
You were told that by the foreigner.
on the topic of the English, here we are.
Dun, dun, strong. Dun. I enjoyed that.
England finished first, ranked first, first. No pressure. First. Red Rises. How do you feel about being number one, 6 titles in a row? Is that at the top of your to-do list for the year? Six Nations title in a row.
Imagine the Instagram post you could put out.
Oh, well, that's a whole other topic, isn't it? Sorry, goodness.
I wanted to do that at the top. Can we give our Mo a great big round of applause? 2 TikToks posted since I last saw you and we did the Ilona Maher episode.
Thanks, Elma. And I actually took a photo of me really, really bored on Friday before my game. And I put that filter on and I thought I was funny. And I thought, oh no, I better not put that out because no one will think it's funny. And then I thought, no one cares. And I put it out. And a lot of girls
and did no one care?
Me and say, that was funny.
Go, Mo.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're still waiting, Skaz.
No,
sorry,
did one.
On that topic.
I did a reel.
Sorry, on that topic.
I did a reel.
Oh, sugar, sorry.
You haven't posted it.
Sugar. No, it's out there.
No, that reel predates the Ilona episode. We want a new one.
Oh. Sorry, on that topic, did you see the TikTok about the eggs? No,
yes.
Don't. This is actually
the cutest thing.
So grandma's made GSR special ones.
Uh-huh. Look at the colours.
Oh. Red. Nice. Yeah.
And
red
you played for Vodafone. With your GSR scrunchie.
Sorry,
on the weekend.
Elma, wait. And she's made Alma a South African one.
It's and a she's little made green and gold.
Skazi,
cream
a Loughborough pink and purple one.
Does Nick have a rainbow one?
Nick actually had his.
I was given mine on Friday night because of the lovely feature that we got to film. And Grand Barbs basically sent me one that said, thank you for looking after Mo. And my favourite bit that said, and for just being nice.
Oh.
That was adorable. So that's currently sat at home.
Much. This was the GSR bag that they came in.
Thank you, Grandpa.
Cut off
we love
from
you.
A bit of an envelope.
Yeah.
Naturally, of course.
There you are, team.
Yeah, and guys, behind the scenes too. Little so hockey. Now that everyone's left early.
Red, white, screw and black.
And the best bit, boys, there's actually an egg in there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. They hold a cream egg.
Legit cream egg.
So this is a knitted ducky that is basically covering a cream egg chocolate Easter egg. And your nan made these for your entire team.
Yeah, she made 47, bless her.
What?
I know. And then we hid them round. We did an Easter egg hunt around Heartbreak. So we just felt like we needed something a little bit fun to do.
I love this. So, yeah.
That's so cute of you to have organised as well.
Grandma, I know, she put like little name tags on yours like I wasn't going to know it was for you and Skaz.
Yeah, as if the green and yellow one
Sorry,
was going to go
anywhere
else.
She actually did me a Gloucester Heartbury one as well.
Oh
my word.
Yeah.
So how long does it take her to do each one?
I don't think that long because I said to her, she sent me like...
Sweatshop grams.
Yeah, literally. She sent me about 8 and I said, oh, that's so lush. I was like, can I have 30 more, please? And then literally like within a couple of days, they were with me.
Do you know how expensive wool is?
I did offer, but she uses it from... She takes blankets down or something.
She takes blankets off small children.
My nieces and nephews now have no warm clothes. Yeah. But other than that, it's going into summer. No one cares. Yeah, bless her. She's a little cutie.
Thank you, Grand Bob.
So
we love
cute.
You.
Thank you, Gram.
That's lovely.
I feel like she should tell them and make money for charity, but...
If anyone would like to pay an inordinate amount of money for my green and gold one, it is the colour of the world champions in the men's game, then I am happy to sell it.
Sorry, you're trying to give it away?
Yeah, I can't believe you're selling
no,
it now.
If we can raise money, raise money for a really good cause, let's talk about England.
Yes.
Because that was a great big roundabout way of getting into John Mitchell era. Marley Packer, Party Packer, she's rounding up 100 caps soon. Contracts maintained, 28 plus. Big headlines recently. Claudia McDonald, a neck injury, unfortunately ruled out. Not the same neck injury that saw her almost retire, but bad nonetheless. No time frame on return yet. Scoop, scoop, scoop from Nick Heath is, it's tough. Thoughts with Claudia. Sarah Byrne, season ending meniscus injury. So, girls, going into this, what is it you would like us to know about where you are as a squad?
Ooh. I think it's exciting. I think there's a freshness. It's exciting. There's a lot that we're trying to do. There's a lot of detail in what we're trying to do. Like, overwhelming feeling is excitement and let's go.
Give it a crack, see what happens.
Yeah. And just play, isn't it? Like, that's kind of what they're encouraging is go out there and play and see what happens. And that's exciting.
What's the compliment Mitch gave Mo the other day that she was so incredibly chuffed?
Oh, I can't describe it. She needs to describe it.
Do you want me to?
Tell us the story.
Let me set the scene. So we were in our kit, everyone getting ready to go out on the pitch, like obviously like laid up, had my long sleeve on, and I just walked past Mitch to go into the change. I can't even say it. I'm buzzing. I'm so buzzing. No one's ever said it to me before. I don't know if he was just playing with my ego, but anyway, fair play.
He's got assessed already. Yeah, it's too easy.
Walked past Mitch with all our stuff going in for this meeting. And he went, "Hey, Mo, are you wearing shoulder pads?" And I said, "No, Mitch, I'm just this hench." And then I carried on walking and I was 2 foot taller.
Oh, there we amazing.
Are. Yeah, he's playing me like an absolute trooper.
Guys, did you hear that? Did you try that? I'm shuffling our shoulders around.
To be fair, the size of my traps, cool, I've never, never been a fan of the size of my traps. But in that moment, that's probably the first time that I loved it. And I thought, well, you think I'm hench? I'll take that.
Take it.
Yeah.
Take it and run.
I literally sprinted.
And all the hench girls out there rejoice.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is one of those moments that I just feel in my heart. I just want so many girls out there to hear that you and your strength and your power and your body has a job that it does well and people love you for it.
Did you see how many meters she ran to cover tackle Heather Cowell on Friday
very
night?
Good.
Guys, I have barely seen this woman move that fast. I was just...
Right. There we are, straight back down to earth.
No, I've seen you, in my life.
I've seen you move really fast. I was just like...
It was like there was a cream egg there.
It was extraordinary. And I absolutely loved it. And I got straight onto the director as soon as we'd shown the two replays. We were about to go back through it. So, can we have that replay again? I want to see where Mo Hunt was. And she was up on the 50-metre line on the halfway and stopped Team GB 7's flyer Heather Cowell getting close to the line. I was just,
very so good.
That's what that power's all about.
That's Nick Heath dialing it in case anyone hasn't noticed. He's a very powerful man, and if you do very impressive things, he will make them replay it until the cows come home. You have more of a before and after comparison that you can make, Scazzy, although you've been about.
In terms of different coaching eras. Mm. Yeah, for sure. Obviously, going into camp last week, it was a bit of a kind of a whirlwind, like mentally pretty exhausting in a really good way, because there's just so much new stuff.
Is it?
Yeah, like new terms and calls and just language and all that sort of stuff, which when you're also sandwiched in between two club games, it's quite tricky to get your head around, because obviously...
Bonkers.
You've been around. No, yeah, I know.
No, but it's all new.
It's all new.
It's all new.
It's largely all new, because obviously I wasn't involved in WXB, so a lot of the girls are on top of some of it already. And it's also the case of like theory versus practical. So obviously you can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and memorize what things are, but then physically doing something on the field and saying those words and moving in the right way and being in the right position and having those small conversations, etc. It's totally different things. You know, people learn in different ways.
When the Mitch Doubters were all over the place initially when his appointment was announced, you said you just want to be coached by someone who challenges, inspires, and really pushes you in creative, innovative ways to become a better player.
Yeah.
Do you feel pushed?
Yeah, I think so. It was only a 3-day camp, wasn't it? So it's probably a bit early to say, but I think certainly in terms of how he challenges your thinking, I think that's a really positive thing to start with. You know, he's given us a few bits of homework in terms of some reading, just to kind of, again, either open your mind to other things or, again, just challenge the way you think about things, how you go about certain situations or your mindset, things like that. So
Yeah, on a line, isn't it? Like, to get everyone kind of thinking the same sort of thing. Yeah.
Is it mentality? Is it like a motivational book? Are we talking like rugby specific reading?
I think, yeah, mentality piece. We've been doing quite a bit on that kind of mental skills side of things with with a guy called Patrick. But Mitch is pretty big on it from what I understand, like the power of the mind and confidence and all of that sort of stuff.
Belief.
Bit of prescribed reading. Now, Nick Heath, you are doing such amazing fundraising work for Gary Street.
Well, not just me. I'm on a committee of people that are promoting lots of stuff. And there is an amazing auction lot of stuff that people can go and bid for, which is raising money. There is a GoFundMe. I have offered to do a very special Nick's Pub quiz at the Cabbage Patch.
Nice.
So Wednesday, the 15th of May. I should make sure tickets are available on Eventbrite by the time this goes out.
I will be there.
So excellent. So Elmer will be there.
It turns out there is something that he is better at than commentating on rugby, and that is being a quiz master. It is something to behold if you haven't experienced it yourself. We are offering tickets to an upcoming live show during the Six Nations and a live watch along of the podcast here in the studio. If you would like to come look at how long it takes us to actually get one of these things filmed,
book a whole afternoon off.
I was going to say, make sure you don't have anything else to go to afterwards, because you can come and sit in here with us and have a little giggle at us nattering away.
Yeah, we're grateful to you for that. So yeah, what a great experience for someone to come and hang out with you brides.
Now, if we have managed to whet your appetite sufficiently that you might tune in to watch the Guinness Women's Six Nations this year, the fixtures will continue to be shown on the BBC. Every match of the tournament will be streamed on the iPlayer and BBC Sport Online as well. And we had some homework challenge after the Ilona Maher episode, and I think we should continue with this. So next time I see you, and I don't know when this will be, but I would like to review your social media posts.
Ooh.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Between now and then, because you are the one who gave a bit of a speech, Skazzy, at the end of that episode saying, we need to take it seriously that the work we do when we create content online is what we do for the growth of the women's game.
You're regretting saying that.
Yeah, you did.
Now.
Yeah,
so my alter ego.
I remember that. Yeah,
the stage is set.
It's important, but I do also think it's very important to be authentic.
Okay.
Yes.
And the balance between that for me is therefore more tricky.
But you can be authentic yourself. You just have to do it more on camera.
Your true and unvarnished experience of being in camp with Mo when she is irritating you. There
I can
we
do
go.
That.
There we go. We found it.
There we
go. Answer slower.
Just report back on the Moisms.
I know. I'm going to start I'm going to write a list.
Earlier when I said that Sarah Hunter was made the dame of Newcastle and Mo felt hook, line and sinker for that. You know, that
she's
kind
a dame.
Of thing. We are really excited for the two of you. Getting the band back together is honestly the dream come true.
Touched all the wood.
I don't know when I will see you next. Our next episode of The Good, The Scars and The Rugby will not have the Scars or the Mo.
Or the Good.
Well, I mean, that's
I could be
me.
The Good if you want.
I'm the Good.
Oh, am I the...
Elma's not the rugby.
Am I the...
You are the rugby.
Oh, I'm the rugby. Is that what it works?
Did this really just drop for you?
Oh, why do I do it to myself?
All this time. All this time.
You know all that rugby you've been playing.
Wow.
We've been celebrating you every step of the way, girl.
Honest to God.
Goodness. And that's why we stand the way we do.
Yes.
You should be sat here, actually.
I'm so
we're doing it wrong.
I'm so pleased to have been here for this moment.
We've said it all out loud. I mean, this is the conversation that should be taking place in Mo's brain, but we have recorded it and we love this for ourselves. So Katie Daly-McLean will step in as the rugby while you are in camp.
We should get Shira as the Scaz.
Wow. Now, there's an episode I'm sure some people will
yeah,
pay
people
to see.
People want to see Shira.
Definitely.
The Cardiff girls were all like, oh, we wondered who Shira was.
Where's Shira Kilgallen?
Yeah.
There she is.
Oh, we could just put some, I'm sure she has platform shoes. She could wear some platforms, be as tall as Scaz and just be the Scaz. Perfect.
She's got backline energy.
Yeah.
You know. Now we have Katie Daly-McLean and a very special episode in store for our next The Good, The Scars and The Rugby. Our Nick, please keep reporting back on your intrepid explorer moments across France and Italy.
I am Six Nations travel man.
Six Nations Tribal Man reporting with some live commentary, rugby commentary, and quizzes in between.
And who else is going to be reporting? I mean, you talked about the coverage.
What?
Someone's going to be reporting.
Someone's punting the BBC coverage an awful lot suddenly.
So good.
Dame Elma Smith.
I will not be wearing green. Well, maybe I will. Who knows?
Can you wear white?
Yeah.
So you're secretly supporting England?
Secretly. Maybe I'll just be wearing what I'm wearing now.
Nice red roses.
Oh. Or is it Wales? We are the Good, the Scars, and the Rugby, brought to you by our friends at Vodafone. Make sure you stay tuned. We will bring you many more adventures during this.
How is that
saying? I've got an adventure.
Very good.
And I also balance Easter eggs on my head for fun. Produced by Sarah Kilgallen. Now we're done.
You've been listening to The Good, The Scaz and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.